Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, of course, things are really happening on the federal level as this week President Trump took his argument of border security to the American people as he gave an Oval Office address last night pertaining to the crisis on the southern border. The president outlined that there is a human tragedy that is unfolding at the southern border, both of those who make the arduous journey from Central America with the false hope of entering the United States illegally, being exploited by drug cartels, by a number of nefarious actors who are taking these people's monies and then telling them that they can have entrance into the United States. And then, of course, the drugs that are pouring over the border that are having a terrible effect in our communities across the country, in states even here in Ohio. In fact, estimates are that 70,000 overdose deaths took place last year alone in the continental United States. That is a staggering number. When the president says it's a crisis, indeed, he is not underestimating the real human tragedy that is taking place in our southern border. Yet, it is being politically played out as the Democrats are not willing to budge an inch to give the president what he needs for border security by way of law enforcement, by way of a border wall or security fence at the southern border. And there's a lot of hypocrisy that's going on because these same individuals like Senator Chuck Schumer just a few years ago actually called for the same thing. Yet the only thing that's different is that President Donald Trump is the one calling for it now. And for whatever political reason, they do not want to help and aid the president in his quest to build border security. Well, let's take a few minutes, just in case you missed it. Let's listen to what the president had to say in the Oval Office last night.
My fellow Americans, tonight I am speaking to you because there is a growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border. Every day, Customs and Border Patrol agents encounter thousands of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country. We are out of space to hold them, and we have no way to promptly return them back home to their country. America proudly welcomes millions of lawful immigrants who enrich our society and contribute to our nation. But all Americans are hurt by uncontrolled illegal migration. It strains public resources and drives down jobs and wages. Among those hardest hit are African Americans and Hispanic Americans. Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border. More Americans will die from drugs this year than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. In the last 2 years, ICE officers made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those charged or convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings. Over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country, and thousands more lives will be lost if we don't act right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul. Last month, 20,000 migrant children were illegally brought into the United States, a dramatic increase. These children are used as human pawns by vicious coyotes and ruthless gangs. One in three women are sexually assaulted on the dangerous trek up through Mexico. Women and children are the biggest victims, by far, of our broken system. This is the tragic reality of illegal immigration on our southern border. This is the cycle of human suffering that I am determined to end. My administration has presented Congress with a detailed proposal to secure the border and stop the criminal gangs, drug smugglers, and human traffickers. It's a tremendous problem. Our proposal was developed by law enforcement professionals and border agents at the Department of Homeland Security. These are the resources they have requested to properly perform their mission and keep America safe, in fact, safer than ever before. The proposal from Homeland Security includes cutting-edge technology for detecting drugs, weapons, illegal contraband, and many other things. We have requested more agents, immigration judges, and bed space to process the sharp rise in unlawful migration fueled by our very strong economy. Our plan also contains an urgent request for humanitarian assistance and medical support. Furthermore, we have asked Congress to close border security loopholes so that illegal immigrant children can be safely and humanely returned back home. Finally, as part of an overall approach to border security, law enforcement professionals have requested $5.7 billion for a physical barrier. At the request of Democrats, it will be a steel barrier rather than a concrete wall. This barrier is absolutely critical to border security. It's also what our professionals at the border want and need. This is just common sense. The border wall would very quickly pay for itself. The cost of illegal drugs exceeds $500 billion a year, vastly more than the $5.7 billion we have requested from Congress. The wall will also be paid for indirectly by the great new trade deal we have made with Mexico. Senator Chuck Schumer, who you will be hearing from later tonight, has repeatedly supported a physical barrier in the past, along with many other Democrats. They changed their mind only after I was elected president. Democrats in Congress have refused to acknowledge the crisis, and they have refused to provide our brave border agents with the tools they desperately need to protect our families and our nation.
That is President Trump as he addressed the nation last night from the White House Oval Office about the southern border crisis. And indeed, it is a humanitarian crisis that's been escalating over the recent years. In fact, fentanyl deaths and heroin opiate deaths in this country have skyrocketed in just the last few years. As the president indicated, 90% of these illegal drugs are pouring over the southern border. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You can learn more about our organization by logging on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can also listen to it in its entirety at our podcast, again at our website at ohioca.org. With me on the phone is Pastor Al Davis, who will be weighing in on this as well. And we've been talking about opiate addiction recovery programs here on this program. Those of you that are regular listeners to News in Focus, you know that we've had expert guests on to talk about the opiate addiction crisis here in Ohio and across the country. And here the president is dealing with this by talking about border security. We have to cut off the serpent's head of where these drugs are pouring in over the border. If you care about the drug problem in this country, you'll want to side with the president. Pastor Al, your thoughts.
Well, Chris, thanks for allowing me to be on the program with you today. And yeah, I listened to the president's speech last, on the TV, and as he laid out the case, very short speech, really, when you think about it, but the amount of information and the necessity of securing our southern border, I think, was made quite clear. I was thinking about something where they have put some fence, some border fencing and barriers up already. They said that the Customs and Border Protection sectors, where they expanded these barriers, illegal traffic has dropped by at least 90%. Now, when you've got this horrendous amount of cocaine and methamphetamine and heroin and fentanyl and all of this that the president talked about pouring into our country from our southern border, making its way all the way up here, even into Ohio where we're at. The idea that cutting back on this traffic, it just common sense tells you it's going to make a dent in the amount of these illegal drugs that are flooding into our state.
Absolutely. And we're doing a call to action right now. If you're listening to this program, you support President Trump and his effort to get the border wall funded to alleviate the pressure on border security and law enforcement on the southern border to get them the monies they need to conduct their operations to safeguard our nation, our neighborhoods, and our states across the country. You want to call the congressional hotline, which is 202-224-3121. Again, that number is 202-224-3121. And we'll have that number up on our website as well, where you can go and call Congress, indicate whether you want to reach U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, leave him a message. You know, Pastor, when we think about also the illegals that are pouring into this country, and the numbers have skyrocketed in recent years, there's anywhere estimations of 11 to 22 million illegals in this country. We're talking about people who haven't paid their paid taxes, paid into the system, and are draining entitlement programs, including Social Security. You know, Democrats who have long held that safeguarding Social Security and entitlement programs for everyday citizens and the middle class, this runs counterintuitive when they're opposing the president on this border wall. Your thoughts?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And you look at the illegal aliens as they're pouring into California, and California is, you know, offering them all kinds of free services. I was listening to the news today, and in New York City, I believe it is, in New York State, they're planning on offering, or at least proposing that they offer illegal aliens all of these services and everything. And you think about it, like you said, we are paying in to our taxes, to our Social Security payments. We're paying into the system so that we can take care of those who have already gone ahead of us that are retiring. And as these people come in, the money's got to come from somewhere. And as they start taking it out of the Social Security program, out of other programs, it's going to hurt Americans. And, you know, quite frankly, there's not enough money to go around to take care of every poor person in the world. We simply cannot welcome everybody into this country and give everybody a handout that comes in. We have processes in place to legitimately evaluate people as they apply to come into this country legally. You and I both know people who have come in legally over the years and yes, become productive American citizens that are contributing and helping out rather than just coming through with their hands out.
The nation is $21 trillion in debt right now, with estimates of $64 trillion in unfunded mandates. That's the guarantees that the nation and Congress has made in entitlement programs and guarantees. Look, this is an unsustainable situation. We have to have borders and security for our nation, and every elected official needs to take note of this. You need to call Congress and let them know that you support President Trump in urging Congress to support and fund the wall. The number again is 202-224-3121. That's the congressional hotline. That's 202-224-3121. That number will also be up on our website at the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Pastor, this is a humanitarian crisis. If you care about the people in Central America, and we do, this budget recently that was turned back by the Democrats had $11 billion for Central American countries for aid and humanitarian support. It's not as if we aren't helping these people in Central America for their own backyard and their own governments to aid and help and assist these people. We believe in proper immigration but not these mass people. And when we look at the images of this caravan that made to the border and then began throwing rocks. I mean, we don't know the hostilities of who these criminals are. In fact, We see that 6,000 immigrants since 2000 have died in the arduous journey even to make it to the southern border. These people are being exploited by the drug cartels, by gangs, by coyotes who work to take these people's monies, giving them a false hope of entering the United States for a better life, and yet it's a false hope. Many of them are turned back. It's a very desperate situation. It needs to be addressed. We need to secure our border. We need to work with those countries in Central America so that they can aid and assist their own people so that they won't have this need to want to have to relocate en masse to the United States. It's an unsustainable situation, not to mention the drug problem that we've talked about that is being a scourge in our own yard, in our own backyard. There is a death that is walking the streets of America. It is drug addiction, of the opiate addiction and fentanyl problem. 70,000 Americans died of drug overdose, according to the Center for Disease Control 2017 reports. The numbers for 2018 aren't out yet. But, Pastor, it is skyrocketing, and it's off the charts. Your thoughts?
Yes, Christian, it's absolutely right. And you brought up the people who are dying trying to make it to the United States. And you know, less people think we're only concerned about Americans. And, you know, as citizens of this country, that needs to be our primary concern, obviously. And the president, that's he's President of the United States of America, after all.
That's right. Yeah.
But when we think of these people who have been lured into making this trek with these promises of handouts, and many of them experiencing high levels of violence. As the president said, one in three women are sexually assaulted or raped during their attempt to get to the United States. In
Terrible.
Fact, it's so bad that parents, when they send their daughters on the trip, they put them on birth control so that hopefully they won't become pregnant on the way. And then the number of people who die. We find that ranchers who have land on our southern border inside the United States, some of the very desolate desert areas, and they find the remains of people who have died trying to make this trek. And then the cost, they spend all this money. The coyotes are profiting, you know, massively off from offering to bring people over, and knowing that many of them are simply going to be turned back at the border and then they're abandoned. And the human cost on the other side, the southern side of the border, is just being increased by our failure to secure our southern border and allowing them to have this false hope.
Criminal activity, drugs pouring over the border, human exploitation with human trafficking, not to mention the prostitution rings of those who are entering the country illegally and then being used for human trafficking within the United States. These are all the gross problems that are occurring because we have a porous border. And where the wall is applied, Pastor, as you indicated earlier, 90% of those attempting are thwarted back. You know, when I was in Israel this last year, I saw the security wall or fence around in Israel and around Jerusalem, and it is working. The Palestinians on the other side of the fence, they get to come in by the thousands every day, but they come through a processing center. Israel knows who's coming in. Before the border was up, they had bus bombings. Children were dying. The terrorists were having their way with all kinds of bombings and shootings within Israel's borders. But once the security fence was erected, and in parts it is a large wall, and yet thousands of Palestinians come in every day to work in Israel, and they process them very quickly. But the incidence of terrorism and or loss of life has way down. It's almost non-existent in that regard because of the security fence in Israel. Walls work. If they didn't, look, think about the gated communities. Some of these very, what's a little laughable here is the liberals that are opposing this, they live in gated communities. You know, there's a lot of hypocrisy to go around here, Pastor, on those opposing the president on this. Your thoughts?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And they try to imply that somehow it's immoral to build walls. It's immoral to try to put up these barriers. And when, as you pointed out, many of these same people claiming that it's immoral, they live behind walls. They live behind gates. And of course, they all probably lock their doors at night, close their houses up when they go to bed. They don't want people just sneaking in unknown. Because as the president pointed out, it's not that we don't like those on the other side of the wall. It's that we care and love for those who are here on this side of the wall.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, we believe in proper legal immigration in this country, and we want people to come lawfully. There are those who are seeking asylum. The president, in this money that he's asked for, the $5 billion, will actually put more judges in place that will pay for the opportunity for those to have their hearing if their asylum request is actually granted or if it's legitimate. But there's a lot of people that are claiming asylum that it's unfounded. It's a ruse. It's something to just whatever it is to get into the country. But those truly seeking asylum that have been persecuted and, of course, and have left because of loss of life or limb in their home country, that will be determined by the courts. This is also part of that package money that the president is asking for. Think about this. Just a few years ago, $25 billion was being suggested by the Democrats. The president only wants one-fifth of that at $5 billion, and that they're telling him, no way, not a dollar for the wall. It's ridiculous. I'm listening to it, but I'm thinking, this is insane. These folks are... You know, the president's compromising. He's on Capitol Hill today. He's talking to members of Congress, yet they're like Sitting Bull. They don't want to give an inch. Pastor, what are you thinking about that?
Well, Chris, I do have to fact check you on one point there. Nancy Pelosi did say she'd offer a dollar. So
okay. But I stand corrected. Okay, a dollar.
But you are correct. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, when she was Speaker of the House before, and Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, all of them on the record calling for border security, calling for the needs for securing our southern border, allotting money to build walls. And now all of a sudden, like President Trump said in his speech, the only thing that's changed is he's the president. And now they're suddenly against it and find it immoral.
Well, you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. With me on the phone is Pastor Al Davis, a board member, also radio host of Live with Pastor Al here on the radio station as well. Here's the number you call to contact your congressman and your U.S. senator, 202-224-3121. And we urge you to call Senator Sherrod Brown and your congressman, even Senator Portman, telling them that you support the president in his call for the support of the wall and the funding that he's needing to secure our southern border. If you care about the opiate addiction problem in our country that has affected so many of our listeners' family members, and some of them of which have suffered loss, some of those 70,000 that have perished by way of drug overdose, you're going to want to support the president, what he's doing. Experts have said that where this wall is being erected, where this border fence, it doesn't need to be along the entire length of the southern border, but it needs to be in those critical areas. This will go a long way to affecting border security for our nation. Well, we've about run out of time today. Part two of our program will be an encore presentation, my interview with Congressman Bill Johnson from last week, talking about the new Congress and what we can expect with basically the Democrats controlling the House and the Republicans controlling the Senate and the presidency. Well, each week we come to you at the same time. We're glad that you're tuned in. Pastor Al, thanks for joining today.
Thank you, Chris.
God bless you, my friend, and thanks for tuning in. And again, any more information is logged on our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Of course, this week in Washington, Congress will be reconvening. While there is a government shutdown as we speak, the government shutdown is still going. And forget which day it is now of the government shutdown that President Trump is holding the line once that border wall funded. And he is not giving in to the Democrats who are politicizing the issue, quite honestly. The president has made a very strong case that the border wall and border security has been a marquee of his administration, and he is going to see that border security is a top issue as it continues in the Trump administration. And, of course, we do have issues with immigration in this country, with illegal immigrants flooding over the border in the last couple of decades, and it has created a host of problems, and much of which has been crime, as law enforcement is having to deal with illegals who have come across the border, some of them with ties to the drug and gang related criminals who have come to this country and are wreaking havoc on the state streets of America. And so that is what is on the president's mind, not to mention terrorism. Well, we're going to get into that in a number of issues, as we're going to have us with us Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District, who will be sworn in again to serve the people of the 6th Congressional District as the next Congress is signed into sworn into to serve the people of this country. Congressman Johnson, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris. How are you today?
Good, sir. And of course, let's see, is it tomorrow or this week?
It's tomorrow. Yep.
The swearing
tomorrow
in
morning.
So this is a different role for you because you have experience serving in the majority, and now you'll be serving in the minority as the Democrats will take the gavel with Nancy Pelosi as presumably the next speaker of the House of Representatives. It will be divided government as the Republicans will retain control of the U.S. Senate, of course, the executive branch with President Trump, but the U.S. House of Representatives will be controlled by the Democrats and really by the political left. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we're going to have to try and figure out a way to get the right things done for the American people. You know, Nancy Pelosi has already said that that she wants to reverse the tax cuts that President Trump signed into law and that House and Senate Republicans passed. She operates outside of the typical committee structure She's already talking about setting up special select committees. If she does things the way she did when she was speaker before, hopefully she learned some things, Chris, but that remains to be seen. But if she does it the same way, she largely governs in a totalitarian type style. It comes directly from her office to the floor. There's not a lot of committee engagement. That's what happened with cap and trade. That's what happened with Obamacare. So that, I think, is what we've got to look forward to. And we've simply, you know, got to hold the line as much as we possibly can, realizing, of course, that the Democrats are going to control the House, and she can pass pretty much anything that she's capable of getting her members to sign off on. We're even hearing, and I'm sure you've probably heard this too, she's going to have her own set of problems. Representative Cortez, the new member from New York, has said she's not going to sign off and vote for Nancy Pelosi's rules package. And that rules package had a very similar measure in it, or has a very similar measure in it, that we had when we took over, Republicans took over back in 2011. It's called pay as you go. That means if you have legislation that costs money, then you're going to have cuts to match that in order to get that legislation across. And Cortez is leading a coalition of Democrats that aren't even sworn in yet to oppose that rules package, because, as you know, Cortez believes in Medicare for all, open borders, and socialistic principles, and that's not what America is. So Nancy Pelosi is going to have her hands full.
We are talking to Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. Congressman, you're going to have a couple of new faces from the Ohio delegation that will be joining you. Jim Renacci, of course, will not be returning. He had a failed Senate bid against Sherrod Brown. He is retiring his seat. Anthony Gonzalez will be Republican, will be representing the 16th Congressional District. And then also in the 12th Congressional District, Pat Tiberi chose to retire. And that basically made way for Troy Boulderson, state senator who is now congressman from the 12th Congressional, will be joining you. Obviously, they are newbies to the system. They're going to be entering the fray as you're in the minority. You're going to be reaching out to them and helping them out, obviously, as they also represent their districts from Ohio.
Well, we did that during their elections. We helped them a lot when they were running, and of course now in an official capacity here, we have reached out to both of them. I see Troy Balderson frequently because, you know, Troy actually was sworn in because he won that special election to fill the unexpired remaining part of Pat Tiberi's term. And so he's been here for a few months already. So he's not totally new, but we've been helping him make recommendations to get him staffed up and showing him the ropes. And we'll be doing the same thing with Anthony Gonzalez as well.
Very good. Congressman, obviously it's going to be a different role now. Of course, even as we've watched the football games over the weekend, there's offense and then there's defense. And when you root for your team that when they're on defense, not to give up yardage. So we're going to be rooting for you, obviously, as you play a defensive role against the liberal leftist agenda of Nancy Pelosi. And as you said, a more liberal wing of the Democratic Party that has come in and were elected. And they're going to be pushing for a number of things of which we've not seen in recent years, as the Republicans have had the majority. And of course, that means a lot of the agenda of pro-life, pro-family agenda will be derailed, unfortunately, in the U.S. House of Representatives. But there's going to be a narrative that builds. And of course, we've seen a number of investigative committees over the last few years. Jim Jordan and others were leading on these investigative committees of the FBI and the Justice Department. What will happen with the investigations at this point, that were underway in the House of Representatives?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that remains to be seen. But you know what the news has been reporting, Chris? The Democrats are threatening even more investigations on the investigations, so to speak. So I don't know, but there is no doubt about it that the investigations will take a turn to the left, because Jim Jordan will not be holding the gavel on government oversight and reform. He's the ranking member there, just like on all of our committees. All of our committee chairmen will not be setting the agenda. It will be Nancy Pelosi's chairman that will be setting the agenda. So you're exactly right. I heard it said one time, Chris, when you're in the majority, you vote, you move legislation. When you're in the minority, you talk. And so a big part of our strategy is going to be messaging to the American people on the devastating consequences of some of these far left liberal policies that you're hearing so much about.
Well, we've had such a debate in this country over the last couple of years, and since President Trump was elected and the Republicans held both the House and the Senate, but there were 40 retirements of those who sat in chairman's positions on various committees and those who had been in Congress for some time. 40 Republicans chose to retire, which basically was throwing the House of Representatives, in the opinion of some, to the Democrats, because these were seats that now would have to be contested in primaries and then head off against Democrats in the midterms, which normally favors the party of opposition. The Democrats picked up, what was it, 40 seats in the midterm?
Yeah, it was around there. It was a bigger number than we thought that they were going to pick up, that's for sure.
And, of course, there were a number of soft districts in places like California, New York, Illinois, and other areas where they were able to make some easy targets. Now, in Ohio, they didn't pick up a single seat. It came close with a 12th congressional in a special election. Troy Boulderson was not that well known throughout the district. He's from Zanesville, Ohio, seems like it'd be the dark side of the moon from people over in north of Columbus and Delaware area. But they did pull that out. There was a number of conservatives that stepped up into the campaign to make sure that that was retained. So that was the best chance the Democrats had of picking up a seat in Ohio. They did not gain any ground in Ohio. The Ohio elections actually went fairly well for Republicans. The only loss really was the U.S. Senate race, and that was because Josh Mandel had to pull out and Jim Renacci didn't have much of a time to actually make his case to the people of Ohio as the as a Republican senator. So Sherrod Brown retains that seat. Other than that, Republicans did very well on the statewide. But as we look in the congressional side of things, Bill, when you look at basically the war on coal, obviously you've worked on advancing the issues of coal and the coal miners and coal issues. We've had Mr. Murray on this program a number of times. What do you see happening for industry and business regulation, and as it is in the energy sector in the new Congress?
A lot of rhetoric, a lot of political bantering. The reality is we have a majority in the Senate, and we have a very pro-energy sector Republican base in the Senate. And you know where President Trump stands on all of this. So there'll be a lot of talk and posturing by Democrats in the House, but they're not going to be able to undo or go back to the days of the war on coal with Barack Obama.
The Senate, of course, is held by the Republicans, and they're already talking about continuing the investigations of the FBI and the Justice Department under Barack Obama, which actually had surveillance on a presidential candidate in 2016, and that was Donald J. Trump. And the House of Representatives actually rightfully began to investigate, calling for records from Rob Rosenstein and others that were involved in that basically what many consider to be almost a governmental coup against a Republican candidate running for office. It's hard to imagine, wrap your head around it. I hate to see that that's going to be dismissed, but obviously those that are coming in on the Democratic side, they're going to dismiss all of that. And as you said, they're now going to turn the guns on the investigators, meaning those who were asking the questions. And quite honestly, when we look at Peter Strzok and you look at Lisa Page and, a number of those in the Justice Department that were discredited and basically shamed because when the facts came to truth and to the public, they realized what was going on here. And they were very concerned about what might be happening on the Senate side of a continuation of these investigations.
Well, as you well know, nobody tells the Senate what to do. I mean, if we could tell the Senate what to do, we'd be moving a lot more legislation over the last 8 years than we've been able to. So I'm not even going to speculate as to what will happen in the Senate. I hope that, as you said, that they will continue to dig into the inappropriate and perhaps even criminal conduct by some of the presidential appointees in the Justice Department and the FBI. But clearly in the House, that's not what's going to be talked about for the next 2 years. That's going to be muted by the agenda that Nancy Pelosi and her colleagues set out. And we'll have to see what that is. Now, you know, I don't want to paint a picture of all gloom and doom, even though, you know, nobody's more disappointed than I am. I share the disappointment that control of the House tomorrow will flip to the Democrats. But I can tell you that it is possible to do things that benefit the American people. I mean, I had 7 bills that were signed into law during Barack Obama's tenure. It is possible to reach out across the aisle and find common ground. I know that Nancy Pelosi and President Trump have talked about trying to find common ground on reducing the cost of prescription drugs, on infrastructure projects. Those are areas that our district, my district, could benefit greatly from. So I'm certainly interested in engaging in those discussions. But the high profile Justice Department FBI investigations that you've seen led predominantly by the House for the last 4 years, those are going to be put on the back burner because Nancy Pelosi is going to be driving the train.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, Trust Blue Review.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue.
We're talking with Bill Johnson, Congressman from Ohio's 6th District. Congressman, I know we just have a few minutes left as you have to get going. And, of course, the swearing-in ceremonies will be taking place tomorrow. And leadership will be officially changing hands as the gavel will be passed off. We'll be praying for you and all the members of Congress as they come in and take their oath of office to serve the American people for sure. What is your thoughts on the president's announcement of troop withdrawal from Syria? What is your thoughts on that?
I was initially surprised by that, by just like everyone else was. But I'm sure that you saw Senator Lindsey Graham's interview over the weekend or over the holidays. He actually met with the president. Senator Graham was one of the most outspoken opponents of the president's announcement that he was withdrawing from Syria. Senator Graham, without going into specifics, said that he learned a lot of things about Syria that he did not know, and that he now has a much more comfortable feeling.
Okay.
That the president has a plan, and that he is executing on that plan. The president made some promises, Chris, during his campaign. He said he was going to kill ISIS and annihilate them and remove them from the world. Lindsey Graham says that we haven't accomplished that yet, but we're within the 10-yard line. We're in the red zone, to coin a football phrase. And so he's confident that the president is going to keep that promise. The other promise that the president made was to bring our troops home. We're not the policemen of the world. And I think it bears talking about. I think the president has made an assertion that we need to consider. I mean, does it make sense for America to essentially be in a prolonged, protracted proxy war with Russian-backed forces when it's not necessarily in our national security interest to do so? We never intended to get deeply embroiled in Syria's civil war. I spoke out strongly against that when Barack Obama started to simply meddle in the situation. We either needed to take decisive action, for example, going after their use of chemical weapons on their own people, or we needed to stay out of it altogether. And so I'm willing to listen to what the president has to say, but after hearing what Lindsey Graham said, I'm a little bit more comfortable. I must confess to you, I wasn't a part of the decision process. I'm a little bit disappointed that we're losing General Mattis as our Secretary of Defense, because I thought he was the right guy at the right time. But the general did the right thing. If he disagrees with the president's agenda, he needs to step aside if he can't support what the commander-in-chief wants to do.
Oh, thank you, Congressman. I appreciate those thoughts. Again, when you think about it, we're $21 trillion in debt, and we're looking at staring down the barrel of really a lot of problems as far as financially. And as you said, many are beginning to believe we can't be the policemen of the world, and we have to start prioritizing our military. And the president has announced that as far as China's aggression in the South China Sea, and of course Russia, and you can't just be everywhere in these places like Syria and Afghanistan and other places. Somebody said, who won the war on terror? And there's an article that said China did, because they didn't have to lift a finger, and they've been building up their military and their expansion across the globe while we've been expending a lot of treasure, blood, sweat, and tears on the war on terror. So now 17 years later, we're going to have to reset and reassess, and that's what President Trump is doing. And I do think that people need to be open-minded on the subject. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll be praying for you, sir, as you serve us in the 116th Congress, and we'll be praying for you and your family as you serve the American people.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. God bless, and God bless your listeners. God bless the great state of Ohio and the United States. I look forward to serving again and talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate you very much.
Bye-bye.
That's Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District, and that runs along the Ohio River all the way down to Marietta. And, of course, he is serving another term in what is going to be the 116th. Congress will be seated tomorrow as the gavel will be passed back to the Democrats from the Republicans, as the Democrats picked up 40 seats and took the majority. But there's going to be a narrative, and there's going to be a battle for debate over the next 2 years, as we're going to have divided government between the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, and the executive, as Republicans control the presidency with President Donald J. Trump and the U.S. Senate in a majority. And, of course, the Senate does not need the U.S. House of Representatives to confirm federal judges. That will continue, and appointments as well. Many of President Trump's appointments have been languishing for 24 months while the Democrats have stalled these appointments. And Mitch McConnell, the president of the Senate, has pledged that he's going to move these appointees along. And it's really just a shame, because when President Barack Obama was sworn in, the Republicans quickly confirmed his appointments. They thought the newly elected president deserves his cabinet, his appointees. The Democrats have not been playing fair. They've been obstructing. They've been doing everything to stall and obstruct President Trump from getting his full complement of appointees throughout government. And we need to pray for the president. We need to pray for the Congress. We need to pray for our country. And, you know, this is important. And if you missed any of today's program with the interview with Congressman Johnson, you can always listen to it on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. You can also see us on Facebook and on Twitter and on LinkedIn. And we hope that you will continue.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.